The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Letter 55, London, July 26, 1739. Sir, I received your kind letter, but must beg to be excused from dissuading your son to go with. The employment in which he is engaged will, in the end, if faithfully improved, tend much to God's glory and his own good. He now sits by me. I read over your letter to him, and he continues as resolved as ever. The being disinherited does not terrify him at all. He has a more abiding inheritance, and is willing naked to follow a naked Christ. Dear sir, let me advise you to do nothing rashly. If you can pray for a blessing on your will when you are about to disinherit your son, I shall wonder. Have a little patience, and then you will find that your son is about to act wisely. If I thought otherwise, no one would be more forward to dissuade him than, sir, your very humble servant, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 56, London, July 31st, 1739. Oh, that my head was water and my eyes fountains of tears, that I might weep over dear Mr. What? And has my familiar friend, who has been dear to me as my own soul, has he taken part with and gone back to the enemy? Surely it cannot be, and yet I must believe it. But if anyone had told my dear friend that he would have behaved thus, would he not have cried out, "Is thy servant a dog that he should do this?" Oh, my dear friend, I am in pain for you. Alas, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You did run well. Who or what hath hindered you? Not a fear of man, I hope, not a desire of that praise that cometh of man. I know the time when my dear friend's heart stood steadfast. I know the time when my dear friend was willing to be accounted a fool for Christ's sake, and choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, or false politeness for a season. And why should I despair of my dear friend now? No, I know Jesus Christ was set for the fallen and rising again of many in Israel. Our Lord, I trust, has prayed for you, and I hope your faith will not totally fail. Forgive me, I must stop and sigh. God forbid I should be called at the great day to say that my dear Mr. put his hand to the plow and turned back into perdition. Good God! The thought strikes me as though a dart was shot through my liver. Return, return. My dear friend, I cannot part from you forever. Do not speak peace to your soul when there is no peace. Do not turn factor for the devil. Do not prejudice or hurt my brother, and thereby add to the grief you have already occasioned. Your most affectionate friend and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 57, Bristol, July 31, 1739. My dear brother, blessed be God for bringing you in safety home. He is a God-hearing prayer. May He sanctify our meeting. I hope to see you here this week. I shall set out for Deal on Monday. I long to hear how the soul of my brother prospers. I long to embrace you in these unworthy arms. Methinks I could now sing my NUNC, DIMITTIS, with pleasure, if my eyes could see my dear brother's salvation. I hope you have conversed with Mr. Wesley. It will require some degree of boldness to own either of us before men. God vouchsafes to honor us. No wonder our names are cast out as evil. Dear Mister, I hear is staggered with the fear of man. And Sister, I trust, is in a good way. When shall I see you? Come, oh come and warm my heart, by telling me what God hath done for your soul. Eternity will be too short to praise him for what he has done for. Your affectionate brother, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1. Letter 58, London, August 3rd, 1739. Reverend and dear sir, This morning I received yours, and though I leave London this evening, yet I cannot but snatch a few moments to send you an answer. I love all that love our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ with me is the center. I love the man, and you in particular, though in all things he may not follow with me. I rejoice there is a revival of true religion in Scotland. The Spirit of God is moving on the faces of thousands of souls in England. The word runs very swift, and Satan falls like lightning from heaven. God hath sent me into the highways and hedges to compel poor sinners to come in. Many are left to water what God hath been pleased to plant. I doubt not of his giving a great increase. But I am a child, I cannot speak. Yet God will magnify his free grace. God will work, and all oppositions must forward, but not hinder it. Enclosed I have sent you a sermon just published. You may judge of my principles from that. The picture I highly honor. May I follow them as they follow Christ. I am no friend to sinless perfection. I believe the being, though not the dominion, of sin remains in the hearts of the greatest believers. Time and business will not give me leave to enlarge. Besides, I am but a novice in the school of Christ, and therefore most earnestly beg your prayers that I may grow in the knowledge of our common Lord. At his call, I am now going abroad and expect to suffer many things ere I return home. Reverend and dear sir, I wish you much success in the name of the Lord, and am your brother and servant in the best bonds. G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 59, London, August 3, 1739. Dear sir, I cannot leave London without answering your last letter. I am convinced that God calls me now to Georgia, and so are our friends. God's ways are like the great deep. He will go away by himself. E-X-I-T-U-S. A-C-T-A. B-R-O-B-A-T. The prophecy you mention, I dare not apply to myself. What am I that God should so delight to honor me? However, I believe the Lord will work a great work upon the earth. Whatever instruments he shall make use of in effecting it, I care not. If Christ be preached, if my dear Lord be glorified, I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I wish all the Lord's servants were prophets. Oh, dear sir, my heart is now melted down with a sense of the divine love. Never was a greater instance of God's free grace in Christ. What am I, O Lord, that thou shouldest delight to honor me? Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Dear sir, I could now write all day, but other business demands my attendance. Yet a little while, and we shall sit down in the kingdom of God forever. Dear sir, adieu. Oh, give thanks and pray for your most affectionately in Christ Jesus, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 60.
London,
August 6, 1739. And would not dear Mr. stay for my last letter? What, is he retired into the country to learn how to forget his God? Is he got into favor with the polite world? Are not these sad symptoms that my dearest Mr. is falling away apace? He runned into one extreme lately, and now Satan is driving him into another. Did not I forewarn you of this, oh, my dear friend, my brother? Return to your first love, otherwise you will find the Spirit of God deserting you more and more every day. Nemo repenteth suits terpissimus. But I can say no more. Perhaps I am troublesome. However, give me leave to weep. Permit me to pray for you. Though you are now dead comparatively, yet I trust you will be alive. Though now seemingly lost, yet surely you shall be found again. God only knows how such news would rejoice the heart of, dear sir, your affectionate friend in the best bonds, G.W. End of Letter 60. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 61. Dear Mr., August 7th, 1739. I thank you most heartily for your last. Had you been more particular, I should have thanked you still more. May God reward you for watching over my soul. Pride and selfishness are the tempers of the devil.
By the help of my God, I will never rest till my Master gives me power to overcome them. It is difficult, I believe, to go through the fierce trial of popularity and applause untainted. Blessed be God, I am now sweetly retired. Oh, help me, my dear sir, by your prayers, as well as your advice, and believe me, desirous to subscribe myself. Yours most affectionately, in our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter 61. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 62. Aboard the Elizabeth, Gravesend, August 14, 1739. Reverend and dear sir, your kind letter gave me much satisfaction. It breathed the language of one who, as a Boanerges in the Church of God, excess of business prevented my answering it sooner, as I am now retired from a public life. I trust I shall have time to try my heart and search out my spirit. Forgive me not, dear sir, when you are praying for all those who travel by land and by water, when storms and winds are blowing over me. I hope I shall always carry you and others of my dear friends in Wales upon my heart whenever I go in and out before the Lord. It would rejoice my soul to hear from you when abroad. Exhort me, oh, exhort me to be valiant for the truth. Bid me, dear sir, to be mindful of a dying and risen Jesus. Bid me to remember the riches of his free grace in pulling me as a brand out of the fire, and exhort me to lay down my life for his sake. Brother Harris, I find, has come off triumphantly. The hour of suffering is not yet come. God prepare us all for it. I expect to suffer for my blessed Master's namesake. But wherefore do I fear? My Master will pray for me, dear sir, hallelujah. I know you not in person. Perhaps I may never see your face in the flesh. However, I shall see you in heaven, and when you shall see how sincerely I now subscribe myself, your unworthy brother and fellow servant in Christ, G.W. End of letter 62. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 63. On board the Elizabeth, Gravesend, August 14, 1739. Dear Madam, I cannot think of your favors, and yet forbear writing a letter of thanks. I cannot think of your parting tears and not inform you how sincerely I pray God to comfort and refresh your soul. Oh, Madam, your kindness to such a dead dog as I am quite surprises me. How much more ought you and I and all mankind to adore the unspeakable goodness of our Heavenly Father, who has so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Dear Madam, never rest till you have a lively faith in Christ Jesus. God has put into your heart good desires after it. Continue instant in prayer. Apply to Jesus Christ as a poor sinner. And yet a little while, and dear Mrs. shall be a Christian indeed. Hasten, O Lord, that blessed time. O let thy kingdom come in full power into this thy handmaid's heart. Innumerable temptations surround you to make you take up your rest here. But I hope, Madam, you will be upon your guard, and let nothing be thought of or done by you which may any way intend to indulge the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Simplicity is the very spirit of the gospel. Therefore, the more we learn Christ, the more regardless we shall be of worldly vanities. God in his infinite mercy make you a widow indeed. You see, Madam, how freely I have wrote to you. It is because I value your welfare. It is the best return that can be made for all favors conferred on, Madam. You are a most obliged friend and servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, G.W. End of letter number 63. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 64. On board the Elizabeth, Gravesend, August 14, 1739. Dear Madam, your affectionate parting and the tears I observed you to shed, even when I was at a distance from you, made me almost ready to cry out. What mean you to weep and to break my heart? Oh, may our Lord put your tears into his bottle and reward you a thousandfold for all the kindnesses you have showed to me. Indeed, I am less than the least of his servants. But yet, so loving is my dear Master that he will not let a cup of cold water given in his name to pass by unobserved or unrewarded. When partaking of your bounty of flour, I hope I shall pray that you and yours may eat bread in the kingdom of God. You have all good desires. I hope you are not far from the kingdom of God. Oh, let there not be anything lacking. Give God your hearts, your whole hearts. Let Jesus Christ be your whole wisdom, your whole righteousness, and then he will be your whole sanctification and eternal redemption. I write this from my floating habitation to assure you how sincerely I am your most obliged friend and affectionate humble servant, G.W. End of Letter 64. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 65, On Board the Elizabeth, August the 14th, 1739. My dear mister, at length we are embarked. Our ship is now going to the Downs. Yet a little while, and God willing, I shall see you once more in the flesh. My family consists of more than 12 besides 2 children. I hope all are desirous to know Christ. God strengthens me mightily in the inner man. The sermon I have sent you is one of my exemplar sermons. This journal will acquaint you with particulars. My brother the captain hath been with me this week. If he leaves off disputing and will come to Christ as a poor lost sinner, he will do well. The Bishop of London has lately wrote against me. I trust God hath assisted me in writing an answer. It is now in the press. All the self-righteous are up in arms. My master makes me more than a conqueror through his love. Mr. has about 40 societies in Yorkshire. Both the Mr. Wesleys go on well. Go where you will. Religion, either for or against it, is the talk. Probably a suffering time will come. You will not be ashamed of me, though I should be a prisoner. Perhaps you will be put to the trial. But how does my dear friend's heart? Have you found Christ? Does he live in you so as to be the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end of all your actions? Are you enlightened to see the exceeding great riches and fullness of his grace? Oh, how will it rejoice my soul to see you a proficient in the school of Christ? How will it delight me to see your little flock pressing towards the mark? Soon after this reaches Georgia, I hope to see you. My stay will be as short as possible at Philadelphia. I must not delay coming to my dear, though poor, charge. I expect to find Savannah almost desolate, but our extremity is God's opportunity. I believe it will lift up its drooping head. For the present, my dear friend, farewell. Yours most affectionately in Christ, G.W. End of Letter 65. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 66. On Board the Elizabeth, Going to the Downs, August 15th, 1739. My dear brother, the agony I was in at your departure, and the many strong cryings and tears which I offered up to God afterwards, plainly show that I love you in sincerity and truth. Though I am now about to launch into the great deep, yet I must write you a parting line. I cannot but think you will come to Christ in earnest. God has most remarkably met you by his providence. His Spirit has been striving with you, and I doubt not but it will get the victory over your carnal reasonings and the rebellion of a depraved heart. But do not, my dear brother, I beseech you, dispute against your own happiness. Be not unwilling to confess that you are not yet a Christian. Remember what our Lord has said, whosoever receiveth not the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in therein. I beseech you, by the mercies of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, to leave off disputing. You have been, I think, frequently convinced, but nature, I find, has as frequently interposed and persuaded you that you had gone far enough already. But does not my dear brother find that he yet lacks something? Have not his tempers and corruptions, nay, hath not sin itself dominion over him? Are his affections weaned from the world? Does he feel himself a poor lost sinner? Is he willing the Lord Jesus should be his whole righteousness? Is he convinced of the freeness as well as the riches of his grace? You see, my dear brother, how freely I deal with you. It is because I love you with a peculiar love. Never did my heart exalt at the sight of any relation as at the sight of you. Surely God intends to give me my dear brother. He is already and almost. Hasten, O Lord, that blessed time when he shall be an altogether Christian, and let thy kingdom with full power come into my dear brother's heart. How shall I say farewell? If you have opportunity, pray write to your most affectionate, though unworthy brother, G.W. End of letter 66. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 67. On board the Elizabeth, going to the Downs, August 16, 1739. Dear Mister, I thank God for his goodness to Brother Hal Harris. I thank you for informing me of it. The storm is diverted for a while, but I expect it to break upon my head one time or another. God has, for a while, prepared me a place of refuge in the ship, from whence I write this. I will beseech him that I may improve the retirement by searching out my spirit. I have almost forgot that I was in the world. My family on board is quite settled, and we live and love like Christians. God only knows where you and I shall meet again, whether in time or eternity. However, this we know, that both must be tried to the utmost. Inward and outward afflictions await us and all the children of God. I am now reading the Book of Martyrs. They make me blush to think how little I suffer for Christ's sake. They warm my heart and make me think the time long till I am called to resist even unto blood. But I fear the treachery of this heart of mine. Dear Mister, to your past add one more favor. Pray that I may be found faithful. I trust I shall have a sweet remembrance of you and my other dear friends when I go in and out before the Lord. Salute them most affectionately. Exhort them. Oh, exhort them to continue in the grace of God. Forget not to write to, dear Mister, your most affectionately, in our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter 67.
The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 68. Reverend and dear Sir, Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. Though business prevents my corresponding with you so frequently as I did when in England, yet what can hinder me now but a want of gratitude and love? Accept, then, dear sir, my sincere, though late, thanks for all favors conferred upon me, and assure yourself I remember both you and your beloved people at the throne of grace. Nothing will rejoice me more than to hear that the good pleasure of the Lord prospers in your hand. Oh, dear sir, what a gracious master we do serve. His loving kindness still prevents, accompanies, and follows me. He has not given me over unto death, but is still pleased to dig and dung around me, and not cut me down as a cumberer on the ground. I long to be purged, dear sir, that I may bring forth more fruit. Since my retirement from the world, I have seen more and more how full I am of corruption. Nothing could possibly support my soul under the many agonies which oppressed me when on board but a consideration of the freeness, eternity, and unchangeableness of God's love to me, the chief of sinners. In about a 12-month, probably, I shall return again to my native country. Satan, no doubt, will endeavor to stir up all his forces against me. By the help of my God, I will once more come forth with my sling and my stone. I shall wait with impatience to hear how the work goes on in my absence. I trust God, by this time, has sent forth more laborers into his harvest. I heartily wish all the Lord's servants were prophets. I verily believe the right hand of the Lord will not only have the preeminence, but also might bring things to pass. Oh, how I do long, dear sir, to see bigotry and party zeal taken away, and all the Lord's servants more knit together. Pray my due respects to all that are so kind as to inquire after me. Exhort them to pray and give thanks for your unworthy friend, brother, and servant in our Lord's vineyard, G.W. Footnote. Many of the letters of this date were written on shipboard during the passage, but dated when sent off from Philadelphia. End of letter 68. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 69. Philadelphia, November 10, 1739. Reverend and dear sir, man appoints, but God disappoints. No doubt it was best that I should not see your answer to the bishop's letter before I left England. I hope it was wrote with the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and then no doubt God will give his blessing. Oh dear sir, how is the glory departed from Israel? In what dregs of time are we born, boasting of our orthodoxy and primitive purity, and yet, alas, but is not this enough, dear sir, to excite our zeal even till it to eat us up? Wherefore hath God called us by his free grace, and made a difference between us and others, but that we should stand up in defense of his injured honor? Your friend, Mr. has told me how plentifully you once tasted of the good word of God, and felt the power of the world to come. Oh, that the divine spark may again kindle in the heart till it become a flame of fire. Nothing will so much enforce your arguments as a life exactly conformable to the Holy Jesus. When with you last, I thought you spoke too favorably of horse races and such things. But what diversion ought a Christian or a clergyman to know or speak of, but that of doing good? Many who are right in their principles are worse than I could wish in their practice. Oh, for a revival of true and undefiled religion in all sects whatsoever. I long to see a Catholic spirit overspread the world. May God vouchsafe to make me an instrument of promoting it. Methinks I care not what I do or suffer, so that I may see my Lord's kingdom come with power. But I know not my own weakness till I am tried. Dear sir, pray for me that I may be found faithful in an hour of temptation. I expect to be tried to the utmost, and to hear that many are become my enemies, who once would, if it were, have plucked out their eyes for me. It is necessary that such offenses should come, otherwise how can I know that I am what I desire to be? Dear sir, your affectionate friend and true brother in Christ, G.W. End of Letter 69. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 70. Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. My dear brethren and worthy fellow laborers in Christ, though I know none of you in person, yet from the time I heard of your faith and love towards our dear Lord Jesus, I have been acquainted with you in spirit, and have constantly mentioned you in my poor prayers. The good pleasure of the Lord, I find, prospers in your hands, and I pray God increase you more and more, both you and your children. Scotland, like England, have been so much settled upon its lees for some time, that I fear our late days may properly be called the midnight of the Church. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has sent forth many of his servants with this cry, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Thousands obey the call, and are trimming their spiritual lamps, in order to go forth to meet him. I cannot but think a willowing time will come after this in ingathering of souls. Oh, that we may suffer only as Christians, and then the Spirit of Christ and of glory will rest upon us. In patience, possess your souls, and I will leave my cause to God. You, my reverend brethren, I am persuaded, are no otherwise minded. May we go on then in the power and in the guidance of the Lord of hosts. The eternal God will be your perpetual refuge. He that employs will protect. As your day is, so shall your strength be. Let not our dear Lord's lambs perish for lack of knowledge. Give ye them to eat, methinks, is the endearing, constraining command of a great shepherd and bishop of souls. And oh, that a due obediency may be paid to it by me, your unworthy brother, but I blush almost when I still myself your brother, for I am a child, and all of you are fathers. Oh, strive together with me in your prayers, that the divine strength may be still magnified in my weakness. You will entreat the Lord to bless the orphan house. I have reason to think God will bring great good out of it. Oh, that I may be prepared for future favors. Oh, that pride and self-love may thoroughly be subdued. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God in Christ Jesus to pray for me, whilst winds and storms are blown over me. You are not forgotten by him who, though the most unworthy of the Lord's servants, desires to subscribe himself, your affectionate brother and fellow pilgrim and laborer in Christ Jesus, G.W. End of Letter 70. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 65, on board the Elizabeth, August 14, 1739. My dear Mister,
At length we are embarked. Our ship is now going to the downs. Yet a little while, and God willing, I shall see you once more in the flesh. My family consists of more than 12 besides 2 children. I hope all are desirous to know Christ. God strengthens me mightily in the inner man. The sermon I have sent you is one of my exemplar sermons. This journal will acquaint you with particulars. My brother the captain hath been with me this week. If he leaves off disputing and will come to Christ as a poor lost sinner, he will do well. The Bishop of London has lately wrote against me. I trust God hath assisted me in writing an answer. It is now in the press. All the self-righteous are up in arms. My master makes me more than a conqueror through his love. Mr. has about 40 societies in Yorkshire. Both the Mr. Wesleys go on well. Go where you will. Religion, either for or against it, is the talk. Probably a suffering time will come. You will not be ashamed of me, though I should be a prisoner. Perhaps you will be put to the trial. But how does my dear friend's heart? Have you found Christ? Does he live in you so as to be the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end of all your actions? Are you enlightened to see the exceeding great riches and fullness of his grace? Oh, how will it rejoice my soul to see you a proficient in the school of Christ? How will it delight me to see your little flock pressing towards the mark? Soon after this reaches Georgia, I hope to see you. My stay will be as short as possible at Philadelphia. I must not delay coming to my dear though poor charge. I expect to find Savannah almost desolate, but our extremity is God's opportunity. I believe it will lift up its drooping head. For the present, my dear friend, farewell. Yours most affectionately in Christ, G.W. End of Letter 65. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 66. On board the Elizabeth, going to the Downs, August 15, 1739. My dear brother, the agony I was in at your departure, and the many strong cryings and tears which I offered up to God afterwards, plainly show that I love you in sincerity and truth. Though I am now about to launch into the great deep, yet I must write you a parting line. I cannot but think you will come to Christ in earnest. God has most remarkably met you by his providence. His Spirit has been striving with you, and I doubt not but it will get the victory over your carnal reasonings and the rebellion of a depraved heart. But do not, my dear brother, I beseech you, dispute against your own happiness. Be not unwilling to confess that you are not yet a Christian. Remember what our Lord has said, whosoever receiveth not the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in therein. I beseech you, by the mercies of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, to leave off disputing. You have been, I think, frequently convinced, but nature, I find, has as frequently interposed and persuaded you that you had gone far enough already. But does not my dear brother find that he yet lacks something? Have not his tempers and corruptions, nay, hath not sin itself dominion over him? Are his affections weaned from the world? Does he feel himself a poor lost sinner? Is he willing the Lord Jesus should be his whole righteousness? Is he convinced of the freeness as well as the riches of his grace? You see, my dear brother, how freely I deal with you. It is because I love you with a peculiar love. Never did my heart exalt at the sight of any relation as at the sight of you. Surely God intends to give me my dear brother. He is already and almost. Hasten, O Lord, that blessed time when he shall be an altogether Christian, and let thy kingdom with full power come into my dear brother's heart. How shall I say farewell? If you have opportunity, pray write to your most affectionate, though unworthy brother, G.W. End of Letter 66. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 67. On board the Elizabeth, going to the Downs, August 16, 1739. Dear Mister, I thank God for his goodness to Brother Hal Harris. I thank you for informing me of it. The storm has diverted for a while, but I expect it to break upon my head one time or another. God has, for a while, prepared me a place of refuge in the ship from whence I write this. I beseech him that I may improve the retirement by searching out my spirit. I have almost forgot that I was in the world. My family on board is quite settled, and we live and love like Christians. God only knows where you and I shall meet again, whether in time or eternity. However, this we know, that both must be tried to the utmost. Inward and outward afflictions await us and all the children of God. I am now reading the Book of Martyrs. They make me blush to think how little I suffer for Christ's sake. They warm my heart and make me think the time long till I am called to resist even unto blood. But I fear the treachery of this heart of mine. Dear Mister, to your past add one more favor. Pray that I may be found faithful. I trust I shall have a sweet remembrance of you and my other dear friends when I go in and out before the Lord. Salute them most affectionately. Exhort them. Oh, exhort them to continue in the grace of God. Forget not to write to, dear Mister, your most affectionately, in our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter 67.
The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 68. Reverend and dear Sir, Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. Though business prevents my corresponding with you so frequently as I did when in England, yet what can hinder me now but a want of gratitude and love? Except, then, dear sir, my sincere, though late, thanks for all favors conferred upon me, and assure yourself I remember both you and your beloved people at the throne of grace. Nothing will rejoice me more than to hear that the good pleasure of the Lord prospers in your hand. Oh, dear sir, what a gracious master we do serve. His loving kindness still prevents, accompanies, and follows me. He has not given me over unto death, but is still pleased to dig and dung around me, and not cut me down as a cumberer on the ground. I long to be purged, dear sir, that I may bring forth more fruit. Since my retirement from the world, I have seen more and more how full I am of corruption. Nothing could possibly support my soul under the many agonies which oppressed me when on board but a consideration of the freeness, eternity, and unchangeableness of God's love to me, the chief of sinners. In about a 12-month, probably, I shall return again to my native country. Satan, no doubt, will endeavor to stir up all his forces against me. By the help of my God, I will once more come forth with my sling and my stone. I shall wait with impatience to hear how the work goes on in my absence. I trust God, by this time, has sent forth more laborers into his harvest. I heartily wish all the Lord's servants were prophets. I verily believe the right hand of the Lord will not only have the preeminence, but also might bring things to pass. Oh, how I do long, dear sir, to see bigotry and party zeal taken away, and all the Lord's servants more knit together. Pray my due respects to all that are so kind as to inquire after me. Exhort them to pray and give thanks for your unworthy friend, brother, and servant in our Lord's vineyard, G.W. Footnote. Many of the letters of this date were written on shipboard during the passage, but dated when sent off from Philadelphia. End of letter 68. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 69. Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. Reverend and dear sir, man appoints, but God disappoints. No doubt it was best that I should not see your answer to the bishop's letter before I left England. I hope it was wrote with the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and then no doubt God will give his blessing. Oh, dear sir, how is the glory departed from Israel? In what dregs of time are we born? Boasting of our orthodoxy and primitive purity, and yet, alas, but is not this enough, dear sir, to excite our zeal even till it to eat us up? Wherefore hath God called us by his free grace, and made a difference between us and others, but that we should stand up in defense of his injured honor? Your friend, Mr. has told me how plentiful that you once tasted of the good word of God and felt the power of the world to come. Oh, that the divine spark may again kindle in the heart till it become a flame of fire. Nothing will so much enforce your arguments as a life exactly conformable to the Holy Jesus. When with you last, I thought you spoke too favorably of horse races and such things. But what diversion ought a Christian or a clergyman to know or speak of but that of doing good? Many who are right in their principles are worse than I could wish in their practice. Oh, for a revival of true and undefiled religion in all sects whatsoever. I long to see a Catholic spirit overspread the world. May God vouchsafe to make me an instrument of promoting it. Methinks I care not what I do or suffer, so that I may see my Lord's kingdom come with power. But I know not my own weakness till I am tried. Dear sir, pray for me that I may be found faithful in an hour of temptation. I expect to be tried to the utmost and to hear that many are become my enemies, who once would, if it were, have plucked out their eyes for me. It is necessary that such offenses should come. Otherwise, how can I know that I am what I desire to be? Dear sir, your affectionate friend and true brother in Christ, G.W. End of Letter 69. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 70. Philadelphia, November 10, 1739. My dear brethren and worthy fellow laborers in Christ, though I know none of you in person, yet from the time I heard of your faith and love towards our dear Lord Jesus, I have been acquainted with you in spirit and have constantly mentioned you in my poor prayers. The good pleasure of the Lord I find prospers in your hands, and I pray God increase you more and more, both you and your children. Scotland, like England, have been so much settled upon its lees for some time that I fear our late days may properly be called the midnight of the church. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has sent forth many of his servants with this cry, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Thousands obey the call and are trimming their spiritual lamps in order to go forth to meet him. I cannot but think a willowing time will come after this in ingathering of souls. Oh, that we may suffer only as Christians, and then the Spirit of Christ and of glory will rest upon us. In patience, possess your souls, and I will leave my cause to God. You, my reverend brethren, I am persuaded, are no otherwise minded. May we go on then in the power and under the guidance of the Lord of hosts. The eternal God will be your perpetual refuge. He that employs will protect. As your day is, so shall your strength be. Let not our dear Lord's lambs perish for lack of knowledge. Give ye them to eat, methinks, is the endearing, constraining command of a great shepherd and bishop of souls. And oh, that a due obediency may be paid to it by me, your unworthy brother. But I blush almost when I still myself your brother, for I am a child, and all of you are fathers. Oh, strive together with me in your prayers, that the divine strength may be still magnified in my weakness. You will entreat the Lord to bless the orphan house. I have reason to think God will bring great good out of it. Oh, that I may be prepared for future favors. Oh, that pride and self-love may thoroughly be subdued. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God in Christ Jesus to pray for me, whilst winds and storms are blown over me. You are not forgotten by him who, though the most unworthy of the Lord's servants, desires to subscribe himself, your affectionate brother and fellow pilgrim and laborer in Christ Jesus, G.W. End of Letter 70.